Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Here's the first story of a lost old-time radio series called First 100 Years, a sitcom from 1949.
Dad, do you really think a man like me can be happy married?
Yes, I do, son. If you just keep in mind one thing. The first 100 years are the hardest.
American Radio Theater presents a lost show from the days of old-time radio. Episode 1 of The First 100 Years. It's early morning of a very special morning. It has been referred to in poetry, in stories, in advertisements, as the happiest morning of a girl's life. No one ever says much about what it is in the groom's life. You're going to meet the groom before you meet the bride. You'll hear him snoring, but he isn't really asleep.
Christopher, wake up, dear. It's time to get up.
That's the groom's mother who just spoke, Mary Thayer. And that's her husband, Frank Thayer, standing beside her. Now we'll let you hear what's going on inside the groom's mind while he's lying there pretending to be asleep.
You don't move. You snore as loud as you can. You figure that if you keep snoring, maybe they won't have the heart to wake you up.
Look at him, Frank. This is the last morning I'll be coming in like this to... Oh, Frank!
Now, Mother, hold on to the waterworks.
He looks so helpless, so completely defenseless. He's too young.
You think to yourself, how did I get into this? All I said was, gee, that's a pretty girl. And then darkness set in.
He's such a baby.
Well, let's get him out of bed and prepare him for the kill.
Frank!
You lie there. Back feels like someone's running a piece of dry ice up and down it. You think, this couldn't be happening to me.
Christopher, get up.
Uh-oh. That's the voice of doom. Get up, Christopher. The hour's at hand. So you roll over reluctantly.
Oh!
It's time you were getting up.
Is it morning?
Yes, it is. And you get right out of bed this minute. I fixed you muffins and all the rest of your favorite things for your last morning.
Mother, for Pete's sake, I'm getting married, not buried.
I hope so, son. I certainly hope so.
Why don't you go put the muffins in the oven, Mother?
Sure, keep your chins up, Mom.
Christopher, this is a very solemn occasion.
How do you feel, son?
I don't know.
Well... You stand this morning where your father and your grandfather stood before you, facing a lifetime sentence.
Oh, gee, Pop, marriage is a pretty serious step when you get right down to it, isn't it?
Yep.
Do you suppose she puts her hair up on those tin things at night?
Probably.
Remember Artie Thomas?
Yeah.
He's got scars from those tin things.
You'd better get into your shower. You haven't any too much time now. Go on, son. Go on.
Yeah, sure.
Hurry up now.
You walk across the room, thinking about it all. You get in your shower. You stand there with the cold spray biting you, thinking to yourself, how did I get into this? All I said was, that's a pretty girl. And now look at me. You see your father walking up and down outside the shower, and you think, marriage is all very well for people like him and your mother, but their life's over. And once more you think to yourself, how did I get into this? And you grope your way back through the months until you remember the first date you ever had with Connie. You went to the movies, and on the way home you stopped and sat in the park. You remember the way she looked. You remember every word she said.
Ah, gee, that was a good picture. It had such a nice, happy ending.
Do you like all your pictures to have happy endings?
Of course. I always want Cinderella to get the prince.
There are so many things I want to know about you.
What kind of things?
The things you like to do, the people you like, the places you like.
I like fun things, the happy things. I like roller coasters and barbecues and dances. I like Christmas and I like the 4th of July.
Well, that's funny. So do I.
Well, I like what almost everyone likes, I guess.
How about people?
I like people who have a sense of humor.
How about insurance salesmen?
Is that what you do?
I got a job in my father's office today.
Oh, that's wonderful. Maybe you can sell me a policy someday.
I hope I can. Gee, it's hard to believe we only met a few days ago.
Isn't it?
Hello, Connie.
Hello, Chris.
What a chump you were. You stand there in that cold gray shower remembering how she said, "I always want Cinderella to get the prince." You're under a cold shower, but you break out in a sweat, and you say to yourself, "Get out of here, Chris. Make for the open road. Run for your life. Run, run, run!"
Son, how many layers of skin are you washing off in there?
Caught. No chance of escape. Hemmed in completely.
Dad, do you suppose there could be anything wrong with the license?
Not a chance. They know what they're doing at the courthouse, and they're completely on the woman's side.
Frank! Chris! Breakfast! Breakfast's on the table!
Well, I'm not very hungry.
I wasn't either on the morning I got married. But your grandmother told me your mother ate a breakfast fit for a stevedore.
Yeah. Connie's probably eating her head off. I can just see her sitting at her breakfast table, happy and triumphant. Sitting at her breakfast table, happy and triumphant.
Now, Connie, you've simply got to stop this crying.
I can't!
Your face is going to be all swollen. You don't want to be a bride with a red nose, do you?
I don't want to be a bride at all.
Oh, now, Connie.
In the name of heaven, stop that yowling. How can I read my paper? Where's Margie? Why doesn't she come and eat her breakfast?
Oh, she'll be here in a minute.
You know, sometimes I have indigestion all day after looking at the three of you with those tin things in your hair. Hurry up with the food, Mother. I'm hungry.
How can you be hungry on a day like this?
I can be hungry any morning. It's no effort at all.
Oh, you're going to have a perfectly beautiful day, dear, for your wedding. Isn't that nice?
Sure, that's great. Mother, do you suppose Chris snores?
How would I know?
It would be awful if he snored like Pop.
I don't snore.
Nonsense, Walter. Of course you snore. I don't know why you're so sensitive about it.
Do you suppose Chris will be bald someday?
He might be, if you make life hard enough for him.
He won't be nearly as cute without any hair.
I'll get you some of that tar ointment your father uses.
I don't use tar ointment to keep from getting bald. I use it because the smell is good for my lungs.
Now you better eat, Connie.
Margie, come and eat your breakfast.
I'm here.
Pop, I don't think I want to get married.
Nonsense. Of course you want to get married. Every girl wants to get married.
I don't.
Then why did you tell that young man you'd marry him?
Now, Walter, quit picking on the child. Every girl feels like this on her wedding day.
Well, I don't know why she should. She's fulfilled the thing she was put on earth to do. She's hooked a man.
Here, drink your orange juice, Connie. We haven't got time to sit around this morning.
Pop, if you were me, would you marry Chris?
Under no circumstances would I marry Chris.
Well, that's not a very nice thing to say.
He's not my type.
If we could only postpone the wedding for a week or two. I'm not ready to get married. I want to think about it.
Don't think about it. Just think about that beautiful white dress you're going to wear, and those beautiful white shoes, and that beautiful white veil.
And that beautiful green dough that paid for them.
I think it's pretty stinking to make Connie get married when she doesn't want to.
Margie, don't use that kind of language.
Nobody's making Connie do anything. She decided she wanted to get married. We didn't.
But she's changed her mind.
She can't change her mind.
Why not?
because the church and the minister and the dress and the shoes and the reception and everything else has been paid for.
Oh, you make it all sound so commercial.
You get that way after years of paying bills.
Ah! Do you want me to ruin all the rest of my life just so you won't have wasted your money?
You told us you loved Chris, and you certainly seem to.
I did, but this morning when I woke up, it was suddenly all over.
All right. Connie, if you don't want to marry that young man, I suggest you telephone and tell him right now.
Oh, what do you suppose he'll say if I call him and tell him I don't want to marry him?
I don't know what he'll say, but if it was me, I'd say, thank heaven for this merciful release.
Walter, that's no way to speak about your daughter.
My daughter is unfortunately a woman, and I suppose cannot help behaving like one. Now, Connie, either telephone that boy and grant him a reprieve, or go upstairs and start preparing for this sentence you are about to inflict on one another.
Chris, for heaven's sake, sit down. You'll wear out the carpet. And please, stop bolting your food like that.
Oh, am I eating?
Chris, after Mother got up and fixed those muffins special...
What did you make them out of? Sawdust?
Son, that is no way to talk to your mother's muffins. Now you sit down and eat your breakfast right.
I don't seem to be very hungry. I feel like I got a yo-yo going up and down inside me.
That's just nerves.
Nerves? Who's nervous? It must be something I ate last night. I did eat last night, didn't I?
You were with Connie last night.
Connie? Oh, Connie.
Frank, make him sit down. He looks like he's going to throw up.
Here, let me undo that shirt collar.
It's a nightmare. I know it's a nightmare. If somebody would only wake me up.
I don't know why anyone ever gets married. It must spoil an awful lot of friendships.
Now that's enough. We've got to get ready. I'm not going to have the Martins showing us up today. Connie's undoubtedly a composed, lovely little bride. And I want Chris to be just the same. I'm not going to have the Martins showing us up.
Connie, I do not intend to have the Thayers showing us up. Connie, you have simply got to get dressed. Your father's all dressed and ready, and you haven't even started.
I can't, Mother. I just can't.
When are you going to show her the surprise?
Shh, Margie. Let your father handle this in his own way.
But he's going to louse it up.
What are you talking about?
It's something lovely that your father thought all by himself.
Well, what is it?
Oh, I suppose we may as well go now. Come on, just follow me.
Where are we going?
Just next door.
What are we going over here for?
Good-looking house there, isn't it?
That three-story Victorian monstrosity?
I told you it stinks.
Mother, speak to that girl.
Margie, don't say stink. It doesn't sound ladylike.
Besides, it's haunted.
It isn't really haunted.
Well, they say that man that was murdered there 50 years ago comes back every Friday and wanders through going, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Mother!
Margie, hush.
Well, it's enough to freeze your eyeballs.
What are we coming over here for?
Want to see the inside of the house?
Well, not this morning, Pop. It's getting late and...
Your father wants you to go in, dear.
I have the key right here.
What's that?
That's only a bat. My goodness, haven't you ever seen a bat before? Look at these floors. Solid oak. And look at those ceilings. They haven't built rooms with ceilings that high in years.
I think high ceilings stink.
Margie!
Smell!
They sure are high.
And look at this cherry paneling. Connie?
Your father wants you to look at the cherry paneling, dear.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pop. It's nice.
Nice? Is that all you can say?
Well, what can you say about cherry paneling?
Cherry paneling is magnificent. I don't know another house in the city with cherry paneling.
I think cherry paneling stinks.
Margie.
Smells.
It really is very nice, Pop.
The house has good plumbing, too. It may be old-fashioned, but it's good. I'll take you down under the house and show you the pipes. They're all copper.
Oh, Mother, I can't go through with it. I just can't.
The pipes are all copper.
Don't keep thinking about it.
How can I help it?
There's 5 bedrooms on the second floor. 5.
Imagine.
5 and 2 more on the third floor. The thing I like about this house is that it has room. You can fit the top floor up into a study, and Chris can have a desk there.
Chris can have a... Did you say Chris can have a desk there?
When he has to work. He can go up there, and you won't even know he's in the house.
You don't mean...
Yes, darling, yes.
Oh, no!
It's all yours, Connie. Every plank of that oak floor, every inch of the cherry paneling, every foot of copper pipe. I bought it for you for your wedding present.
For me?
The cherry paneling, the copper pipe, and the stinking ghost!
Margie, it's going to be so nice to have you right next door, dear.
But, Pop, what on earth will we do with 7 bedrooms?
Well, I expect you to be prolific enough to fill them. That shouldn't be so difficult.
Walter, there's a child present.
Oh, Mother, don't be so corny.
Well, what do you say, Connie? Let me tell you, this is a house you'll have the rest of your life. The whole city can fall down around it, but this house will stand.
Oh, Mother, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
Now what's the matter with her?
Oh, don't pay any attention to her, dear.
Well, she's got to snap out of this and start getting ready. She has this lovely old house and that fine young nincompoop. She ought to be very happy.
But she doesn't want to get married. You're acting like a medieval baron forcing her to go off with a man she hates.
What?
People like you belong in the Dark Ages.
Then in the last throw, my back is broken. Mother, I'm going to have a talk with Connie. Connie, you don't have to marry that idiot, or any other idiot as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, Pop, you mean you'll get me out of it? You'll talk to him?
Oh, now, wait a minute, I'm not sure.
Maybe you could get them to postpone it. Tell them I've got a headache or something.
Now, see here. If I go over there, and I'm not saying I will, mind you, but if I go over there, I'll call it off altogether. I'm not going through anything like this again. I'll buy you some cats and some knitting, and you can be an old maid.
Go right away and tell the Thayers. Hurry, it's getting late.
You're sure you want me to call this off?
I'm positive.
All right, Connie, all right. Now you stay here in this room until I get back.
Oh, you're the most wonderful father that ever lived.
I am also the one with the fattest head. Oh, well, I should be received with rejoicing in the other camp.
Your father goes out the door, and you're alone. You slip Chris's engagement ring from your finger, and your hand feels so light you wonder why your heart feels so heavy. You think to yourself, you're free again. Your life is your own. You can go out with anyone. You can, but not with Chris. You'll probably never see Chris again. You sink down on the window seat, and you close your eyes, and you begin to remember. You remember the night you and Chris went to the carnival. It was a night of candied apples, and merry-go-rounds, and shoot-the-shoots, and Cupid dolls. It was a night of stars. Seen beyond the fairy tale rim of the Ferris wheel.
Have some more popcorn.
Thanks.
This is some Ferris wheel, isn't it?
I'll say.
Connie?
Hmm?
You're so doggone beautiful. You did say you like baseball, didn't you?
Love it.
Football?
Uh-huh.
Pinochle?
Absolutely.
The doggondest coincidence.
Do you like spinach?
No.
Neither do I. Golf?
Nope.
Me neither. Cats?
I like dogs.
So do I. My, it is the darndest coincidence, isn't it? Oh, Chris, isn't it beautiful out tonight?
Oh, Connie. Oh, Connie.
Oh, I've never been kissed in a Ferris wheel before.
Ever been proposed to in one?
No.
Well, get ready. You're going to be.
You remember how you came home feeling that some of the stars must have stuck to the candied apple on your face, and that you must have swallowed the Ferris wheel because it was still going around inside you. And then you remember another night, and Chris, all dressed up and perspiring, facing your father. You remember exactly what your father said.
What do you mean you want to marry my daughter?
Well, sir, you know how it is.
It's perfectly ridiculous. You hardly know one another.
We've known each other just as long as you had known Mother when you got engaged.
Doesn't that frighten you?
It doesn't frighten me. I love Connie.
How do you know?
Well, how do I know anything?
I'm not sure you do.
What have you got against me?
I don't know, but I'll think of something.
Well, I'm sorry you don't like me, sir, but...
Who said anything about not liking you? I'm on your side in this thing. I don't think you know what you're doing.
Well, I do know that I love Connie, Mr. Martin, and I'll do everything I can to make her happy.
Connie, now, Connie, you simply have to stop daydreaming and start getting ready for your wedding.
Oh, Mother, Mother, it's all over. It's all over.
Hey, Dad, there's Mr. Martin coming up the front steps.
Still, Chris, if you want this tie tied. He probably has some more instructions for us. If he tells me once more where I can stand, I'm going to tell him what he can go sit on. Here, let me straighten your coat.
I look peculiar.
Well, maybe you'd better put on your trousers.
Oh, I thought something was missing.
Mr. Martin wants to see you, Frank.
Well, the feeling isn't mutual, but I'll go down.
I don't know why men make such a fuss about every little thing. Phew, how much of that goo have you got on your hair?
Mother, when the minister says, "Do you take this woman," has anyone ever been known to say no? Have they?
Of course not. Now hold still, and let me try my hand at that tie.
Why don't you go down and see what Mr. Martin wants with Pop?
All right, and then I've got to start getting dressed myself.
Don't worry about anything, Mother. Everything's going to be all right. And if I don't get a chance to say it later, thanks for everything. Nobody ever had a greater mother.
Oh, Chris...
Connie doesn't want to marry Chris.
That's what she says.
Well, Chris has been saying all morning that he didn't want to get married.
He doesn't want to marry Connie?
That's what he said.
Why, that trifling no good.
Boys.
Now, wait a minute. Don't you call my son a trifling no good. What about your daughter?
My daughter is acting every inch the woman. You can hardly say your son is acting every inch the man.
No. Will you remove your glasses and step outside and say that?
I certainly will.
Now, aren't you both being silly? Of course Chris wants to marry Connie. And of course Connie wants to marry Chris.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Thayer, but you're mistaken.
They're both just a little nervous. You'd better run along home, Mr. Martin. I don't like to rush you, but I know Mrs. Martin would like to have the ceremony on time.
All right. If you want your son to go down and wait at the church, let him do it. I wash my hands of the whole matter.
My goodness, Walter. Where have you been?
How do I look, Pop?
Look! Look! Where do you think you're going in that outfit?
Walter, what on earth is wrong with you? She's going to get married. You know that. Now, come on. You almost made everyone late.
I give up! Oh!
Come on, Margie.
This whole routine is so corny. I feel just like a square in the stinking organdy you got tied around me.
What is a square?
You ought to know. You're one.
Mother, should I be angry at that?
Very.
Margie, how dare you speak to your father like that?
Now, Connie, hold up your skirt and be sure not to sit on it in the car. Walter, for heaven's sake, fix that tie. Do I look all right, Connie?
You look beautiful, Mother. Oh, golly, I feel like you feel at the top of a roller coaster. I wonder how Chris feels.
I'm suffocating. I can't breathe in this collar. Roll all the windows down.
They're all down.
Then open the doors.
My gracious, my hair's going to be blown to bits.
What do I say when the minister says, do you take this woman? Do I say, I do or I will?
Whatever you say, after you said it, that's all, brother.
Frank.
Well, which do I say?
Say, I do. That's what most people say.
Maybe I will is more original.
Then say, I will.
Why does he have to be original?
I like to see a boy have a mind of his own about things.
I guess I'll say I do.
No, your father wants you to say, I will.
I don't care what he says. Here we are.
We couldn't be here already.
Well, we are.
Well, let's drive around the block once.
Haven't got time.
Now, we've got to hurry right through the side door. Come on.
You stand in the church beside your best man, waiting. There you are, at the end of the last mile. You stand there going over and over the whole thing in your mind, thinking, all I said was, that's a pretty girl. Now look at me. One good man down, one husband coming up. And then as you stand there, the music starts. Hear the music and you turn your head, and there she is coming down the aisle towards you. She's staring straight ahead of her, and you wonder what she's thinking.
You walk down the aisle. You hope you won't trip on your train. You hope you'll be able to hold your hand steady. You hope you'll be able to answer when the time comes, and then you look up and you see Chris.
She looks at you and she smiles. Heart drops down to your knees and comes back again, and you think, oh, honey, somewhere in the past 24 hours I almost lost you, but thank heavens I didn't.
You look at Chris and you think, it's been you from the first moment I saw you, and it will be forever. And then Chris takes your hand, and you stand together listening.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered together in the sight of God and this company to unite together this man and this woman in the bonds of holy matrimony.
I'm so happy.
Oh, I'm so happy too, dear.
Was there ever such a beautiful bride before?
Well, what's everyone crying about?
Oh, you two precious children.
God bless you both. In fact, God bless us all and protect us.
And bless our home. Oak floor, cherry paneling, copper pipes.
What are you talking about, honey?
You'll see.
Oh, darling, from here on in, the going's going to be smooth and wonderful, isn't it?
Don't be hasty, my boy. Let's see what you have to say 1 week from now. 168 hours. 21 meals from now.
Yeah, 21 stinking meals.
Come on, Mrs. Thayer. Let's get away from these cynical people.
Whatever you say, Mr. Thayer. Whatever you say. For now and forever.
Remember, children, the first 100 years are the hardest.
Yep, the first 100 years.
And so Chris Thayer and Connie Martin were married. And did they live happily ever after? Well, come back next week and listen as they move into the house next door. They're nice kids. We think you'll enjoy knowing them. You have been listening to American Radio Theater's version of a lost old-time radio show. It was episode 1 of The First 100 Years. In our cast, you heard Chuck Royalty as Christopher Thayer, Morgan Maines as Connie Martin, Kim Turner as Walter Martin, Melinda Maines as Claire Martin, Linda Rasmussen as Mary Thayer, Michael Mulkey O'Reilly as Frank Thayer, Beth Slansky as Margie, and Pat McNally as the minister. I'm your announcer, Dan Schindler. The First 100 Years was originally broadcast on American Broadcasting Company on August 4th, 1949. It was created and written by Gene Holloway. In the original cast were Sam Edwards, Barbara Eiler, Earl Ross, B. Benaderet, Joel Kearns, Myra Marsh, and Barbara Whiting. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the 1930s. These were all on the radio at various times.
The Works Progress Administration presents a program by the Federal Music Project, which is under the direction of Dr. Nikolai Sokolov. This melody brings us the music of the Manhattan Concert Band, conducted by Anthony Giamatteo. The program opens with the Marche Militaire No. 2 of Franz Schubert. Thank you. Latin Concert Band continues its program with the celebrated minuet by Boccherini. Used frequently as a violin solo, we hear this composition today in a special arrangement for concert band. Latin Concert Band concludes the program with two selections from the suite San Pittoresque of Massenet. First, the march. Thank you. the air de ballet. At this time, the Works Progress Administration offers a program by the Saxophone Sextet of Boston, a unit of the Federal Music Project, which is under the direction of Dr. Nikolai Sokolov. The program opens with this novelty group conducted by Pearlie Stevens, featured in The Russian Rag by Cobb. Thank you.
rhythm novelty to a continental tango as the saxophone sextet introduces Chitarra Romana by Di Lazzaro. Change of mood and tempo now, and it brings us the weird harmonies in a descriptive work by Salisbury entitled The Ghost Dance.
Thank you.
have American communities benefited by the employment of the white-collar worker on the WPA? Are their activities worthwhile? To answer this and many other questions, 10 national organizations interested in social and civic work, organizations such as the American Public Welfare Association, the National Engineering Council, and the National Recreation Association, recently carried out a nationwide survey. They asked and received reports from more than 8,000 communities of 42 states. The reply of the vast majority was emphatically yes. That part of the WPA program which has provided employment for the so-called white-collar worker is worthwhile. Communities report from coast to coast that they have benefited by added educational facilities, by greater recreational opportunities, by WPA medical, clinical, and nursing services. Millions of citizens have enjoyed WPA concerts, drama, and art productions. From Louisiana comes the report, I quote, "The work performed is not only in itself worthwhile and of permanent value to the community, but also enables the workers to retain or acquire skill for which they are best fitted to earn a living," unquote. In the opinion of men and women in the communities served, the WPA has done well in planning projects for workers with specialized training. America is capitalizing on their skills. Again, we listen to the saxophone sextet of Boston. Romance is the keynote, and the melody is June in January from the picture Here Is My Heart. Now, in conclusion, another rhythm novelty, Midnight in a Madhouse.
Thank you.
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Please stop by our website, www.americanradiotheater.org, and listen to some of our podcasts. We put up a new show every month. Also, stop by the Old Time Radio chat room at radioutofthepast.org. Every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific, a group of us gather to talk and play old-time radio shows. Hey, see you there!